shall we? Father, we thank you that we could gather here tonight in your name take some time to study your word together and to see your desires for our lives, that we might glorify your name. And Lord, even as we have sung, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to keep our hearts, and it's also our cooperation by which the church arises so that we might move forward in your name. And Lord, we pray for obedience and faithfulness in that, and faithfulness to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, to bring forth fruit in our lives and through our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we just pray as we study and open up this new series tonight that you would be praised and you would be blessed, and that you would just keep our hearts as we walk through it and we study your word together. May you bring conviction, may you bring encouragement, strengthening, and Lord, may we go forth living Christian lives that would honor and glorify and please you. And we pray this in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name. Amen. Well, please join me tonight in your Bibles to the 12th chapter of the book of the Romans, the book to the Romans. It's my plan, right now at least, when we finish our final snapshot series of messages in the book of the Revelation, to look next to Paul's letter to the Romans for our expositional studies on Sundays. But despite that, I thought that we would get into a sort of side study on our Wednesday night, and for the next several months, actually, in Romans chapter 12, especially seeing in, and it won't be for several years before we actually get there anyway in our expositional study to Romans 12, but especially we will be looking at Romans 12 and verses 9 through verse 21. At 25 behaviors of a Christian. And all 25 behaviors you'll find, guess where? Well, right here in Romans chapter 12, and specifically in verses 9 through 21, or to the end of the chapter here. As let me, here at the start, just read them off, beginning verse 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, as we look to open up this series of studies here, and tonight is all by way of introduction, but let me just start out by saying this. You are not alone if you've ever had this following thought. All right, here's the thought. I wish God had just given us a list in the Bible of all the commands that he wants us to keep. That way, I'd know whether or not I was living a real Christian life the way God wants me to live. But the fact is, God doesn't give such a list, does he? But he gives us this one here. He gives us another one somewhere else in the Word of God, another one somewhere else in the Word of God, and so on and so forth. From Old Testament to New Testament, we have list after list, thing after thing that God commands. And it's apparently our task to kind of collate them together and then obey them, right? No, wrong. Okay, to which you ask, why is that? Why is that? Why is it wrong? Because the to-do list that God has for us as true, obedient, Christ-honoring Christians is guess where? It's written in our hearts. It's written in our hearts, isn't it? Energized by the Holy Spirit of God in conjunction with our submission to the written word of truth, the written word of God, so that we might obey it. I think of what the Apostle Peter said, and you might just want to jump over there. We'll be a few places here tonight. But over in 2 Peter, the second epistle, chapter 1, and in verse 3, beginning verse 2, actually, let me start out there. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And here it is, what I wanted us to see. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And let's not forget verse 4. Look at verse 4 with me. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Here it is, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There it is. Just to sum it up, divine power, all things that pertain to life and godliness, the knowledge of him, called unto glory and virtue, partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption of this world, that we would otherwise, like the rest of the world, we would continue to lust after. Do you see it? Essentially, the list is ours internally and empowered internally and in conjunction with all of God's, that God's given us, his word, his teachers, his preachers, his, and yes, most of all, his spirit, to empower us, to convict us, to lead us, to exhort us, to admonish us, and to strengthen us in those commands. I mean, think how blessed we are. I was thinking about this as I was preparing. As God gave the first to-do list at Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, right? For his spiritual people Israel to obey with a promise of blessing when they did and cursing when they didn't. But in the New Testament and after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a new covenant in his blood was instituted like God had promised all his people in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, which in essence provided an unheard of spiritual breakthrough, if you want to call it that, where God now writes his laws on the hearts of everyone who has been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And not only born again, but given his spirit within to now help us to keep all of those laws that have been written in our hearts. Also giving his holy word through which his Holy Spirit powerfully works in and through us to, in effect, bring us to spiritual maturity in Jesus Christ. It's something that the Old Testament saints, mind you, they didn't have. They didn't. I mean, I think of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 and 25, and you might want to just jump over there quickly, but he says this in Galatians 3, verse 24. He says, wherefore the law, in other words, that to-do list, if you will, he says, was our schoolmaster, was our teacher, to bring us unto Christ, so that we might be what? Justified by faith. Okay? In other words, given that declared righteous standing before God by faith alone through Jesus Christ alone. And then I want you to listen to verse 25. But after that faith has come, this, in other words, regeneration, Holy Spirit indwelling, supernatural faith to repent and believe, he says, we are no more, look at this, no longer under a schoolmaster. So going back to verse 24 here of Galatians chapter 3, who did Paul say our schoolmaster that we might be brought to Christ was? He says the law, right? That to-do list, all right? And now that this regenerating repentance and faith has been given us, and the indwelling Holy Spirit with it, guess what? We are no longer under that schoolmaster, that to-do list of the law. But we are under what? Well, Paul says over in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, he says, you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Unmerited, ill-merited, unmeritable favor from God. And as we learn later on in Galatians 5, verse 18, this constitutes being led of the Spirit, as Paul declares there. But if you be led of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is within you through this new birth, you are not under the law. You're not under the law. And we learn later on in Galatians 5, 18, that this constitutes being being led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit means that you're not under the law anymore. And we also learn that this doesn't mean here that, as some would take it, some Christians try to argue for this, that the law is done away with and that all the to-do lists in the Word of God that we are no longer obligated to obey. Of course not. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you've now got a new unheard of spiritual breakthrough that's given you to now, in the energized, helping way, obey it. Namely, the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now within, who uses the powerful living Word of God as a means so that we might do all that God commands us to do. From what's written in our hearts already. Wonderfully put, we've been freed, and this is wonderful, we've been freed from the legalistic burden of obeying laws which our fallen nature resists. Automatically, our fallen nature resists it, as it was in the Old Testament and before this new covenant of grace. So now we have the inner motivation to keep the Ten Commandments and much, much more. So that now, as John, he puts it, you remember when he put it in 1 John 5:3, he says, because of the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts, his commandments are not grievous. But rather his commandments, if you're truly born anew, born again, become a joy. They become a blessing for a true Christian to do everything which pleases his heavenly Father who loves him. Actually, his love compels him to. Let me tell you, for those who have ever longed for a list from God that would indicate whether or not I was living a real Christian life, it would no more be possible to make a complete list of the required behaviors of a Christian than it would be to write down every single thing Jesus ever did in his life. Isn't that right? Even as John ends his book, and I believe it's in John 21, verse 25, he talks about, if all the things that Jesus said and did were written, I don't know that all the books in all the whole world could contain what was written and said. So, bottom line, there's only one item on the Christian to-do list, and stated so clearly by Paul, in fact, in Galatians 5:25, I'm reminded of this, where he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what he is saying there, in other words, is if the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, if he lives in you through a true born-again work of God in your life, then you'll walk continuous action that implies forward progress, submitting to the Spirit's control within. You say, how do I do that? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I put myself under the work of the Spirit in walking with the Spirit and under his influence and under his control? And the answer to that is, don't be surprised, the Word of God. The Word of God. You see, as we get into the Word of Truth, the Holy Word of Truth, we get in it often. We, like Romans talks about, renew our minds in it. As we keep in the Word, as the Word of God tells us, and that, you see, constitutes walking in conjunction with the Spirit, putting ourselves under that which the Spirit uses as a means to help us to glorify God in all that he commands. So in light of this, don't be surprised as we are given to-do lists in the Word of God. And yes, in the New Testament, as we have lists of characteristics of true love, 1 Corinthians 13, which we just ended our One Another series of studies with. We've got lists of deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We have lists of spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. We have the lists that you will discover with our studies here, 25 behaviors of a Christian in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. As in actuality, by the way, Paul didn't present 25 behaviors here to the Roman believers, going back to Romans chapter 12, but they are part of his letter in which he was exhorting them to present themselves as a living sacrifice to Christ, as he speaks in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And also to employ the grace of God in the lives in the service to one another, as he speaks of in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. It's then that he begins describing what it looks like in the church of Jesus Christ when people do that. That is, when they live sacrificially, when they serve one another lovingly in the grace of God. So it's important that you have these descriptions given to us here. Why? Because the Bible tells us that those who are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, those who truly are born anew, they will be characterized by actions that characterize their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God is saying to us, here's the actions that you are to be characterized by. So yes, in Romans 12, 9 through 21, we have a mini description of how Jesus lived his life. And now, how we, who are truly in Christ and have the Spirit within, we are to live our lives. And it's important, it's incredibly valuable to be reminded of these characteristics as we still have the fallen fleshly disposition in us, lest, as Paul said in verse 3 here of Romans chapter 12, we begin to look at it, 12:3, he says, think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but that we might think soberly, according as God has dealt to every one of his the measure of faith. And by soberly, Paul means sound judgment that will lead believers to recognize that in themselves they are nothing. and it will yield the fruit of humility in their lives. And by the measure of faith, and this is wonderful, Paul is speaking of the correct proportion of the spiritual gifts or the spiritual endowment and the ability that the Holy Spirit gives each believer so that he might fulfill his or her role and testimony of faith in the body of Jesus Christ. With the spiritual gifts given in 4 through 8 and the spiritual abilities that are given in verses 9 through 21. So just as a jigsaw puzzle is easier to put together when you look at the box top, isn't it? So the Christian life, get this, is more successful when you keep the goal constantly in front of you. And that's what this study is all about for the true believer, where the Lord has given us, through Paul, in Romans 12, 9 through 21, as something he wants for us who have the Holy Spirit living within us to keep clearly in our minds as a goal, as a destination of our Christian lives and our Christian experience. Why? So that we might live a life that pleases our God through the power of the Holy Spirit as we follow his word of truth, so that we might glorify his name. So no, we won't get to heaven by making a to-do list out of Romans 12, 9 through 21. Nor any other list, for that matter, that we might find in the Word of God. But when we get there, by God's grace alone, through regenerating repentance and faith alone, in and through Christ alone, which is the only way, we'll discover we fit right in. As this is what the true people of God will be all about. Romans 12, 9 through 21. So, in the weeks ahead, be warned, be encouraged. I think in our studies in the days ahead that an honest look at our lives in light of these precepts will bring both conviction and it will bring confidence. A conviction about our failure to keep some of them, as we've sought too hard, unfortunately, in the flesh to carry out these things, in which case we need to ask for the Lord's help that he might do so for us in the days ahead. And we'll hopefully also experience confidence about the victory that we've had through the Lord in keeping of others. In which case, we need to thank and we need to praise the Lord that he's kept us faithful in that we are, as of course, it's all been because of him who lives in us, we are what we are in that particular area. And may we ask him that we might, in his strength, we might continue being faithful in that area. Now, as we go through these 25 behaviors, one by one in the days ahead, we're going to do a study of each of them, but this list falls under really four categories, or phases, if you will, which form an ever-increasing circle, as it were, that expands from personal attitude to the widest social applications. The first category that Paul shares being in verse 9. Look at verse 9, with personal duties. All right, and then in verses 10 through 13, he moves to what we would call family duties. And then he issues forth in verses 14 through 16 duties to other people in general. And then he gets into, even in verses 17 through 21, our duties toward those who are our avowed personal enemies. So that kind of lays it out for you as we look to get into this list of 25 behaviors of a Christian. 25 behaviors for right living. And I look forward to it with you and getting into this list in the days ahead. Well, let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we have learned tonight, that you are the one who writes these things in our hearts. You are the one who assists and helps and energizes us in these things. And it's as we trust in you and as we look into your word and renew our minds in the word of God that you help us to do these things to the glory of God. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace and we're under him and under his control and his influence. And I pray that we would keep ourselves continuously walking in the Spirit of Christ, that we would not fulfill the deeds of the flesh, but we would move forward to fulfill the fruit of the Spirit that's written in our very fiber, in our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.